Welcome to the Smart Thinking Podcast. This is my dad, Ted.
Welcome to the Smart Thinking Podcast. I'm your host, Ted Knightsky. All of us, each day, struggle with confidence. Some of us are struck with an inability to act, and others of us are stuck with too much confidence, and we need to be humbled on occasion. Which is why this week I want to explore how to build confidence when you take on great challenges in your days in life. Many times we come across situations where we will need to be confident, act with a sense of security in our skills, and maybe overshoot our skill sets and find ourselves in a quagmire. Confidence is a tricky thing. Sometimes when we begin the journey, we are confident and we believe that we can take on anything. And then as we move through the journey, we come upon things that we had not thought of or imagined, and then the confidence we had slowly gets exhausted. Confidence is like energy. We need to actually take time to recharge, get reinforcement, and reflect upon our work and journey so that we can grow. Confidence, though, comes with wisdom, and everyone loses confidence when they come upon things they've never experienced. And that is why our relationships with others is so critical, and why we need people in our lives who can help us fill our tank when we come upon things in our lives that may empty our confidence tank. This became very evident to me this past summer when I was once again learning from my children, more specifically, from my daughter Grace. Before I get into the story, I want to remind you that leadership and the lessons of life are everywhere. If you are paying attention, you can see life metaphors all around you. You can find examples of leadership everywhere you look, and you can learn from anyone. Confidence is a dangerous little fella because confidence can come across as arrogance. Confidence and arrogance are cousins of an odd nature. Confidence is when you internally believe that you can do it, and arrogance is when you have to remind everyone around you that you did do it, that you share with others that you have no doubt that you can handle it. In short, arrogance is confidence without humility. This episode is about fueling your confidence, creating the conditions to be able to achieve your goals, and finding the people in your life to ensure that you can do it. Buffalo leaders have confidence from wisdom. They know that charging into the storm will lead to less pain and a quicker opportunity to address their concerns. Arrogance is sitting around on sunny days talking about how awesome you were the last time there was a storm and how you epically challenged it. This summer, I learned a great lesson on how fragile confidence can be in young leaders, as well as old leaders. The lesson was from Grace, my daughter. Now, Grace is a 15-year-old sophomore in high school and a wonderful young woman. She has eclectic tastes in many things. She loves music, the outdoors, socializing, tennis, soccer, movies, art, food, and much more. Her and her brother both share my passions for the outdoors, nature, and adventures. But this year, due to COVID and a concern about missing too much work, my wife and son did not come along on our normally scheduled summer trip. So I took my brother-in-law, Andrew, my niece, Nora, and my daughter, Grace, and we went out for a week in Colorado with the goal of having an adventure every day. And we set a goal of climbing a 14er. A 14er is a mountain that is 14,000 feet, and in the continental United States, they are the highest mountains you can climb. I've climbed a few in my life, and my children have heard me talk about them. Now, just for background, as I write this, I'm currently at 691 feet above sea level. So to put this into context, a 14er for a person from the Midwest in the United States is basically 2.5 miles up into the sky. You are at cloud level, you feel wind like you've never felt it before, and you also have views of the world you've never seen before. Going from sea level to the top of a 14er has an effect on your body. You swell up, you feel your heart in your chest. A short 100-foot walk as you climb can be exhausting, and your brain is constantly questioning your inner voice saying, "What are we doing here?" So this summer, I had told our little summer adventure crew that we're going to climb a 14er. I wanted Grace to be the first woman on either side of the family to climb a mountain of this height, and so did she. It was on this day that I learned how delicate confidence can be and how powerful your inner voice can be when your confidence tank is near empty. It was a warm July morning when we set off to the mountain. We had decided to go to a range where there were three 14ers that we could choose from to climb. We chose to climb Mount Democrat, which is 14,154 feet above sea level, which is 2.6 miles into the sky. We drove through Breckenridge and got to Alma, Colorado, where we found the dirt rock road that took us to the trail. We drove on the rockiest road I've ever driven on, and I wished that I had a Jeep Wrangler instead of our little car. We got to the base of the mountain and saw the peaks. The trail began at tree line, so there were a few trees around us, but we began the hike at a high altitude. When we got out of the car, Grace was beaming. She was excited, and she had had a ton of confidence. She was looking forward to the climb and achieving something that we had talked about. The night before, she had nervously laughed about the opportunity to go this high on a climb. So we checked our packs, laced up, and took off. The trail is a beautiful, long, sloping trail at first, and as I learned, a little misleading for new climbers and hikers. We got to an elevation where the grass and plants started to slowly disappear and patches of snow emerged. Grace was in good spirits, and we stopped for a few pictures and a little snowball fight. It was, after all, July, and snow is weird to see in summer. Grace was behind me, and we were moving at a good pace. She's into cameras with film, so she would stop on occasion to take a picture of the sweeping views or a small mountain stream, and we'd rest for a bit and talk about how awesome this was going to be. She was so confident that there was no point that I thought we wouldn't be able to do this. She is an experienced hiker, and she's been to altitude before, so I was feeling pretty good that we'd be able to make a climb to actually a couple of the 14ers. As we got to about 13,300 feet on my altimeter, the trail came around the mountain and we circled past a boulder. I mean like a large boulder, like four stories high type of rock, and it blocked the view of the trail. So as we came around the corner, the dirt trail disappeared and became loose gravel. The trail also became steep, much steeper. The gravel was loose under our feet, and the steepness of the trail went from a hill to something like a steep staircase. The gravel gave way to granite rocks about the size of bowling balls, but they were square and jagged. It was about 200 feet of climbing this that I turned around to see Grace with a concerned look on her face. I mean, if you've never done this before, sometimes you actually have to get on all fours for balance because the rocks below you are moving and the ground is shifting below you. It was also when I believed that when I was looking at her, her confidence was beginning to wane. I want to pause here for a second because I think this happens to all of us, and especially when we come upon situations that have gone from the familiar to the unfamiliar. Our confidence goes away when we can no longer rely upon previous experiences or knowledge. We come upon situations we've never faced, and suddenly, our confidence is drained. However, many times our confidence is drained, we make weird decisions as a result. Fill ourselves with doubt and fail to recognize that we are making bad decisions because we can't understand what's actually going on. COVID is doing this to us each day. The world, like the rocks, keeps shifting beneath our feet and we are failing to rebuild our confidence and move forward. This inability to move forward comes from a lack of confidence and a failure to be around the right people. Back to the mountain. After that 200 feet of unstable rock, steep rocks, and slippery footing, Grace had a look on her face that concerned me. The issue was that she had never been in a situation like this. High altitude, an aching body, strong winds, cold temperatures, a scary feeling about the terrain, and a desire not to let herself or her dad down. Now, a trick I learned years ago when hiking and climbing and, frankly, in life leading, is to let the slowest person or the person struggling lead. The reason for this is that it reduces the pressure to keep up and creates a positive pressure as well as reinforces your own confidence in other people to get us where we need to go. Confidence is crushed when you work with people with more skills or stamina, and we see them as successful. And then, as a result of seeing their success, the enemy of confidence creeps into us ourselves, and that is doubt. So in leading, it is important to pace with those that may be struggling in order to make them taste the success that fuels confidence. If you feel confident, you take risks, you have energy, and you're willing to go further than you've ever believed. So why not create those conditions for others? I asked Grace to go in front of me, and we continued towards the peak. After about 15 minutes of leading, she began to listen to her body. She was in pain, her legs hurt, her heart was pounding, and it was getting very cold. At this point, we are literally 2 miles in the sky, and clouds are just above us and occasionally sweeping right past us. It's not a normal place for our bodies, and it's testing not just Grace's confidence, but her motivation. She turned to me and said, "Dad, I don't know if I can do this." I told her she could, and I believed that she could make it. But I also gave her an option, the option to turn back. I told her I was proud of you and of her, and that if we wanted to turn back, it was okay. It wouldn't bother me. I've done this before. It's okay, Grace, if you want to go back. Sometimes leaders too often reinforce failure when others are lacking confidence. They reinforce it in a negative way by saying things that sting. Are you sure you want to quit? You wanted to do this. You're going to regret this if you give up. I learned a long time ago that those are confidence extinguishers and shift the emotions from questioning to accusing them of not being able to do it. This too often kills confidence and then builds resentment. Grace, I could tell, sensed that I was okay turning back, but something within her said, "Let's keep going." She kept climbing, and I was behind her watching her and her steps. I kept encouraging her that, and then asking her to take breaks and asking if she wanted to take a break, and we would. But then she'd carry on. I was encouraging and reinforcing about how much I valued her effort, how proud I was of her, and especially reinforcing her resolve. We were about 500 feet from the top of the mountain when we took a break to catch our breaths, and we could see the end of the trail. It was here that I first noticed that her eyes were red, red from crying, and she was again questioning herself. As a father, it's hard for me to see my kids or anyone I love in pain, so I again reinforced to her, told her we could turn back and I wouldn't be disappointed, and then I just looked at her. I mean, how many times have you been able to see the finish line and walked away because all the things your mind was telling you? You've come this far. It's good enough. It's close enough. Your mind tells you to listen to your body. It's too hard. Let's go. Let's give up. We've all been there. I looked at my altimeter and told Grace that we were 500 feet from being at 14,000 feet, and she'd be a true mountaineer. Her blue eyes were bluer than ever because the whites of her eyes were bloodshot from crying. But then we did something that leaders need to do in order to reinforce confidence in those they serve. We looked back. We turned and we looked back at how far we had come. And we both realized it was a really long way. Our car, we couldn't even see it. The earth seemed like it was miles and miles from our feet, well below us. Because it was. All the time we were climbing, we were looking down and had forgotten to stop and look back. Even on our breaks, we looked up. We were standing on top of a field of rock, no life in sight, just the two of us, and only a few hundred feet left to go. Confidence is a tricky thing to utilize, and sometimes as leaders, we need to season it with a little coaching and motivation. I told Grace, "Hey, we've come this far, and we would both regret it if we didn't finish." She agreed, and although we were freezing, the wind was now blowing directly into our faces at least 35 or 40 miles per hour. She stood up, she kept leading, and persevering. It took us 30 minutes to climb that last 500 feet. We took breaks and we got to the top. And once there, Grace just collapsed and sat down and said, "I want to rest." I climbed a little higher to take some pictures of her and the skyline, and the wind was deafening, nonstop and freezing. But there sat Grace, staring out onto the different ranges we could see, resting and looking more confident than I'd ever seen her before. Was she scared? Yes. Was she exhausted? Yes. Was she in pain? Yes. But she was confident. She had endured. She had overcome. She demonstrated tenacity, perseverance, and a desire to override her senses, which screamed at her, "Turn around. Give up." But she was now wiser. She had gone up the most difficult path by choice, and she led the way. I watched as she reverted back to the same confidence that she had when she began the journey. That sense of accomplishment, of doing something hard, had grown within her a new air of confidence she had never had before. I mean, here she is, the first Nightski girl, woman, to climb such heights, and she understood that this was actually kind of a big deal, something not many people ever even try, and even fewer complete. I learned that day that confidence comes and goes and comes again if, as a collaborative leader, you support others. As we walked back down the steep hill, I led and she followed. I led to navigate a safe way and to ensure that my experience would give us both confidence as we descended. Sometimes going down is more dangerous than going up. And the entire time we were going down, I had one question rattling around in my mind. Would she ever do this again? When we finally got down a tree line and found a patch of soft earth with no more rocks, we had the opportunity to set up a parachute blanket and sat down for lunch. It also provided us the opportunity to reflect. We talked about what we learned, joked about some of the people we saw on the journey, and then I asked her my question. "Hey, Grace, would you do this again?" Without hesitation, she answered, "Yes." She explained to me that now she had done it. She would be able to do it again because she knew what to expect. I surmised from our conversation that her confidence was shook because she hit a situation where it was difficult, painful, and uncomfortable. one that she had never experienced before. But now, that she knew what to expect, she'd do it again. This begs the question for us as leaders. How do we build confidence in others when they have lost theirs and allow doubt to set in? Well, I think we can learn a little here from young Miss Grace. First, when others lose confidence and are filled with doubt, put them in charge. Make them lead so they have no choice but to finish. Second, reinforce their efforts by telling them that they're doing well and how they've progressed. Third, make finishing non-negotiable as you near the end. Fourth, look back once in a while to understand the progress and the journey. You can't appreciate what you've done if you are racing towards a finish line without reflecting. Fifth and last, take time to enjoy the moment. Confidence is like a flame that can either be fueled and powerful or blown out with a simple gust. You as a leader are responsible for fueling the confidence of those you serve. Everyone experiences self-doubt, doesn't think they can do it, and the only way they can overcome that is to be shown how to get through it. And to do that, they need to hear their colleagues and leaders tell them they're doing a great job, to be reinforced, and to be encouraged. We are living in extraordinary times, and people are incredibly fragile. They lack confidence, and they need to know that they can do it. They will go far on journeys that are painful, and they need to have people around them that will show them the way and make certain they are positioned for success. Teachers, kids feel this every day. Principals, teachers are questioning themselves like crazy right now. Leaders at every level and in every industry are working with people who are wondering if they can do this for the long haul. We all started out confident on this journey, but after the journey's underway, sometimes confidence needs fuel, and we as leaders need to make sure that we are encouraging, allowing others to lead, coaching, motivating, and finally, celebrating. That's the formula to creating a herd of confident buffaloes, and you know who it begins with? You. So let's do some smart thinking. Describe how you can allow others to lead so they gain confidence. List how you can reinforce the efforts taking place all around you. And describe how you can create the opportunity to review how far you've all come together. That's it. That's the Smart Thinking Podcast. As always, thank you for listening, and please rate this episode and share it on your social media platform. Check us out at CISA6.org and make sure to follow us on our social media platforms, found pretty much everywhere. Thank you to the Well Pennies for their great music, and please go to the Well Pennies website to pre-order their newest album, which will be released this October. Finally, this week, look for and celebrate the leadership that is all around you. Find ways to reinforce those who take the risk to lead and fuel their confidence. Each of us every day allow doubt to slip into our mind, and we need others to remind us that we're going to be okay. My favorite part of the story I left out, but now I want to tell it to you, because it was my favorite part of the climb. As we began to descend, Grace said she was nervous about how loose the rocks were, and she didn't want to have gotten this far, all the way to the top, and then get hurt coming down. So I simply extended my hand, thinking she'd hold it for the first 20 feet or so until she got her confidence. Well, much to my heart's surprise, she held my hand for the mile of rock field that we had to descend, and I realized at that time that two things were occurring. My hand and grip were fueling her confidence, and I was overwhelmed with the cognition that I was holding my nearly adult daughter's hand, much like I had when she was a little girl, when she wanted to hold my hand for her safety and confidence. The entire journey, I had been worried about her, tried to fuel her confidence, and then this moment of realization that she was holding my hand once again for security. This was the moment of our hike that I was overwhelmed with confidence. Yeah, I was so confident because I knew that Grace was always going to be okay. As leaders, we need to create the conditions for those we serve to find their way, to be confident in their challenges, and to be independent. As we grow buffalo behaviors and expect ourselves and others to charge into the storm, we have one obligation, and that is to make sure that we put them first, that we encourage them to explore the outer limits of their confidence, and that we work every day to make certain that we are guiding those around us to the highest heights of their own possibilities.
He was born in the summer of his 27th year, coming home to yesterday behind him. You might say he was born again. You might say he found the key for every door. When he first came to the mountains, his life was far away. On the road, hanging by a song. But the string's already broken, and he doesn't really care. It keeps changing fast, and it don't last for long. If the Colorado Rocky Mountain High, I've seen it rain and fire in the sky. The shadow from the starlight is softer than a lullaby. Rocky Mountain.